current state on WKAR. Let's take it from the snow back to summer now, and one woman's observation about how gardens grow. It's part of WKAR's mobile storytelling project, Pop-Up Stories.
So when I met the guy I've been with for 24 years ago, he did not seem to be at all into gardening. Now, granted, he was in medical school, so he would have had no time, but he had some house plants, and they were often unattended. I saw nothing in terms of gardening in the future. And then we moved to Indianapolis together when he was doing his clinical rotations and I was finishing up my grad school work. And turned out in downtown Indianapolis, for some bizarre reason, there was a seed store. So I, on a break one day, bought a bunch of seeds, and he was like, hell, let's plant them in the living room. Why not? We had incredible southern exposure in this apartment. So we took some tomato seeds and some corn seeds and some gourd seeds, and we grew a vegetable garden in the front window. And it actually worked. The corn was very dwarfed. And the tomatoes, I remember, looked like marijuana from the parking lot. So when he would go to school every day to the hospital, he would say to me, remember, if the cops show up, throw yourself to the ground and say, they're tomatoes. And the gourd was really interesting because the gourd only opened every night. And it, of course, needed a pollinator. And we didn't have a pollinator in the apartment. So he had to be the pollinator. And I would be like, come to bed, sweetie. And he'd be like, I have to wait for the flower to blossom so I can pollinate it. And I thought that was a little weird. And it should have indicated to me that there was something weird coming. So we then moved to Minneapolis. And then we moved to East Lansing, Michigan. And then we bought a house near the Hanna Community Center in the Oakwood neighborhood. And it had this huge yard with a garden that had clearly gone to hell. And all of a sudden, he was out there constantly. He was constantly in the yard. He was weeding and planting and sowing and doing all of these fancy things. And I was like, where has my husband gone? And I would complain to my friends that he spent all of his time and lots of money in the garden. And one of my friends said to me, well, you know, it's better than if he spent it on somebody else, right? She said to me, at least when he sows his seeds, you get nice flower arrangements out of it. So I was not into gardening. As he put it, my concept of gardening was to put my white gloves on and point. So he would go out and garden, and I would not garden. And one day I was in my front garden with my friend Libby, who's a gardener. And she said to me, your garden is so beautiful. There are irises and zinnias. It's just incredible. It's so beautiful. And I complained to her. I said, it is really beautiful, but he doesn't see the weeds. There's weeds all over the place, but all he does is pay attention to the flowers. And she said to me, maybe that's why he loves you. And after she left, I sat on the front steps and I looked at the garden. And I realized it was wild and colorful and unpredictable. And I thought, oh my God, I am this garden and it is full of weeds. So I decided to help rather than complaining. And I got some tube socks and put them around my knees to protect my knees. And I got a floppy hat. I got some gloves and I went out and gardened. And my neighbors, who had known me already for several years, started making fun of me. So they would say to me, there's some strange woman in your yard I saw yesterday. She was gardening and it looked like you, but it couldn't possibly have been you. They were all making fun of me, but I stuck it out, and I didn't enjoy it. And to his credit, he didn't kill me when I accidentally weeded out his sweet William, not realizing it takes 2 years to bloom. And he also didn't divorce me when I weeded out what I thought was wild violets that turned out to be trillium. I think that if he had gone to a divorce judge who actually knew about gardening, they probably would have given him the kid, the house, and all the money. But I persisted, and actually after a few years, I started really enjoying it. I started actually getting into gardening, and I even knew what I was talking about much of the time. So I'd be like, hey, the giardia is not blooming there. I think we need to move it to a sunnier spot. And he would say to me, giardia is an intestinal parasite. You're talking about gaillardia, but hey, let's move it. And so what I came to realize is that, in fact, people do marry people like the gardens they love. And the kind of garden I like is a garden that's very neat and tidy, that comes up when you want it to come up and doesn't come up when you don't want it to come up. You, in fact, marry your garden. And when I told my mother this theory, she actually said to me, so what does it mean when you marry somebody who hires another guy to take care of the yard? I didn't go there. So what I learned from all of this was that, in fact, you do kind of marry the garden that you love. And what that means is that you can actually know people by their perennials. But what's more important is to think about what your role is in relationship to that garden. And what I've learned is that I'm really lucky because I have a guy who constantly plants beautiful things in me. And my job in our relationship is to weed myself every day.
Local storyteller Alice Drager on the WKAR stage at one of our pop-up stories, mobile storytelling events. The next one takes place Friday, August 11th at 6:30 p.m. at the Great Lakes Folk Festival in downtown East Lansing. The theme? On the road again, again. That's right. On the road again, again. Listening to Current State on WKAR. Do you have a Francophile in your life? Someone enamored of all things French? Well, chances are they'd be interested in this, a French immersion school in Lansing that allows participants to explore the language and culture of France. Gaëlle Cassin-Ross is the founder of the French immersion school, Au Petit Soin in Lansing, but she never had plans to become a teacher. She actually moved from Paris for a science gig at MSU. WKAR's Katie Cook speaks with Cassin-Ross about the school and how it all started after the birth of her son, Séguin.
I would only speak in French to my baby, and people overheard me speaking in French, and they asked me if I would teach to their children. And you know, first time you are like, ha ha ha. Second time you are like, yeah, sure. Third time, you start thinking, oh, maybe there is something. Maybe actually all those people are telling me that there is a need in Lansing for teaching in an immersive way French to babies and toddlers. So first I started, and it was just for 0 and 4 years old kids. And I just started to get demand for all the kids and people being very insistent, saying, no, I swear, if you start creating a program, I will be there, I will sign on.
Tu aimes le soleil? Compte jusqu'à 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Très bien.
So where did you start in figuring out how to teach the kids?
So, of course, I'm a PhD in science, and I'm used to work with students. So, you know, it's a completely different process. So I double-guess myself a lot. So I start reading, and people started to tell me, you know, I didn't go to school to teach English to my baby. We just want you to do what you are already doing with Séguin, but with our kids. I still took some time off to read techniques, learning about our immersion work, the mistake I shouldn't do. And I started in parallel a program for teaching French as a foreign language, just to make sure, you know, I was on top of things and I was just, you know, I knew what I was doing. I think it was very important. I wanted to have an expertise. I think I really enjoy doing it. And I think people can see it, and they can see I put really all my heart in doing it, and I really try to be creative and to be at the level of my student, regardless their age.
Why do parents in Lansing want their children to learn French?
That's a very good question. I ask that question many times. And when I ask them, they keep telling me that it's sophisticated. And I'm like, there is apparently something about the French culture. It's chic and sophisticated. It's come with a certain prestige. People want to learn French so badly because they are very, very interested in the culture. If you ask around you, many people dream about going to Europe, and especially to Paris. People have something with Paris.
Paris, c'était la gaieté Paris, c'était la douceur aussi, c'était notre tendresse.
I'm speaking with Gaël Casson-Ross, who moved to Lansing from Paris and has started a French immersion school here.
You don't speak any English to the children in your classes. How come?
No, I don't. I don't even speak English to their parents once we pass the door of the classroom. I want them to not translate. I want them to learn French by just associating to an action a different way of saying it. I really want them to look at, let's say, the action I'm eating and not thinking, oh, how can I translate that? But just have, at the same time, coming in their brain, I'm eating, je mange. And to do that, I need them to almost forget they can speak English and have like an empty brain and let's speak French. I try to make it very interactive and playful. We really play. We work hard, don't get me wrong. It's not all about ha 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 laughter. But I want them to be relaxed enough to accept to play the game of trying. And they do. They do. So we work on presentation right now. So how do you say your name? How old you are? If you have a good day, are you asked to someone? Did you have a good day today? You know? How do you answer to all those questions like a normal conversation? And every other week we add questions and we build on it. And so we have a first game where we use a ball and they would basically, when they have the ball, they know it's their turn to answer to whatever question was asked and to ask a different question to someone in the audience.
Quel âge as-tu?
Oh, j'ai 32 ans. Comment ça va, Amy?
Ça va bien.
Oui, bravo!
What are your goals for Au Petit Soir, the school?
It's, you know, in the reality, we need to think about how Au Petit Soir was born. Because people pushed me to start Au Petit Soir. Why do I have a space today? Because people dream about having a library and be able to be immersed more than just during the class. Did I plan on that? No. I love a good challenge and I'm giving everything I have to make that work and make happen everything my student and the parents of my student want. But when I picture Au Petit Soin, I would love a space where people can just be fully immersed in the French culture. I imagine someone entering in the space and having some French music playing, depending on the age of people. Lullabies or maybe more music I like. I love Edith Piaf, I love Brel, I love Gainsbourg. I mean, it's a list of people I like. I have a playlist ready to go.
Au premier temps de la valse.
So I imagine people entering in a space and almost traveling just by stepping in that space. I want that space to be a safe place for people to come after maybe a difficult day and they need to relax, you know, and they need to tune out.
Paris qui mesure notre émoi.
What can people in Lansing do to support this cultural center, this school?
So what I'm trying to do first is to have a free access to the center, to, I don't know, if you want to relax and just sit in a comfortable living room, have a coffee and listening to French music and read French press and French books, that's a place to come. To do so, I need help from the community. So I started an Indiegogo campaign for that, to get funds, but I really want the space to be accessible to everybody, a little like you would go to the East Lansing Library or to the CADL.
The two girls you heard in one of the classes earlier were Addie and Emmy, who are 9 and 8 years old. After class, I talked with their mom, Valerie, about her interest in French lessons for her kids.
Why were you seeking out French specifically?
Well, our son decided to take French this year. He's a freshman in high school. Both my husband and I took German, and so we don't know any French. And so I just thought it would be neat for us to try a different language, to try something new.
And then I asked the girls what they thought about French.
How is it different from English, Emmy?
Well, it's a different language, and you speak very differently with kind of a different accent.
Au revoir, Addy.
Addy, what is it like to learn French?
It's difficult at the beginning, but it is getting easier kind of step by step. So, like, it's fun.
Au revoir,
Au Petit Soir celebrated its two-year anniversary earlier this year and now has programs for adults as well as children. You can find out more at apsfrenchclass.com. For Current State, I'm Katie Cook.
That's Current State for you today. We make the show here at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at MSU. The show is produced by Brooke Allen, Katie Cook, Kevin Lavery, Jamie Paisley, Scott Polt, Corel Vega, and our news director is Reginald Hardwick. WKAR's director of broadcasting is Susie Elkins. I'm your host, Peter Wharf. And Current State is a production of Michigan State University Radio.